Dropping the dumbbells, Sean takes a deep drag of his cigarette before puffing rings toward Tyler as he issues more warning. These circumstances are different, and you know it.
They aren't, Sean argues. As long as I treat this like they aren't, it's business as usual. And while we're on the subject of pussy, I don't think I'm going out on a limb here when I say you're in desperate need, brother.
This time, Tyler postures up.
Fuck you. I know it's been a while since you've truly mingled with the fairer sex, so I'll clue you in.
Sean cups his hands over his nipples in demonstration.
Someone a little more petite in stature, fuller hips.
Irritated with the pointless back and forth, I cut my gaze at Tyler. She's a fucking mouse. Tyler rears on me.
That mouse is attached to a fucking mountain lion.
Sean steps forward to grab Tyler's focus.
You think I'm going to let anything or anyone stand in the way of a decade of planning?
He blows out a breath of frustration as he spotlights the 20-ton elephant in the yard.
You think I would do France dirty? We're handling it.
Doesn't seem like you're the one handling shit, Tyler asserts, not budging an inch.
It's better this way, I shrug. Plans change. We adapt. You know I'm not known for my sparkle. Just let pretty boy here do the heavy lifting with her and I'll take care of the rest.
That may be the way you run your fucking sex life, but it's not the way to manage this. Sean's eyes bulge at the low blow meant for me and inches toward Tyler, forever the voice of reason.
That was fucking wrong on so many levels, man. You're completely out of line. You need to start seeing this the way we do, as an opportunity.
Tyler pounces. You think I'm fucking stupid? I see how you look at her, and it's been days. You're no more in control than she is.
Sean's eyes flare in warning. You're really saying this to me?
Tyler glares between us, his fear tangible. It's clear then that he thought I would reconsider and call France. I can see him mentally sifting scenarios before stepping back and running a hand through his lengthening hair. Eventually, his expression shifts into one of resignation.
Only for you two. But I swear to God, when this goes south, and it will, you both owe me, and I will collect.
He glances down at me.
Sorry, man. I don't bother to reply because I'm too caught up in the fact that Tyler's blatant dig didn't sting as much as it should have, and that instills a sort of fear in me. Have I detached so much from basic human emotion that I'm becoming immune?
Sean's eyes alight, happy with his victory. He rests a crooked elbow on Tyler's shoulder, fingering the shell of his ear.
Now, go fix me some eggs. I find you a lot sexier in the kitchen, and if you play your cards right, I may be willing to take one for the team.
Tyler attempts to shrug him off, a whisper of a smile lifting his lips.
Fuck yourself, mutt.
Sean hooks a forearm around his neck, pulling him in, and Tyler's nostrils flare.
Jesus, you reek.
They both start off toward the back of the house, and Sean glances back at me, giving an exaggerated slow wink as Tyler grits out,
Get the fuck off of me. Come on, baby, just the tip.
Sean coos before they round the corner out of sight. It's my first genuine smile in a week.
7. The setting sun lights fire to the sky, soaking my surroundings in an apocalyptic-looking orange hue as Sean pulls up. He steps out of his Nova in his Horner Tech uniform, using his night shift scheduled lunch hour to deal with our latest setback. Offering him the blunt as he approaches, he takes it as we stand between our cars and the gravel lot in anticipation of Tyler's delivery. The bay door opens behind us, and seconds later, Russell pulls our newly wrapped Fleet heating and air van out of the bay. Jeremy rides shotgun, dressed in his matching uniform, a giddy grin splitting his face.
Despite some hiccups, that right there is a beautiful thing, Sean muses.
Jeremy and Russell lift their chins to us as they pass with their marching orders for tomorrow, a collection mission to help pay the bills.
Can't argue there, I say, watching them pull off.
Years ago, we set up several LLCs for all types of inked technicians to make service calls to scope out locations for future heists. Not only has it helped us micro-plan robbing our targets, but it also legitimized the businesses with service calls to avoid the LLCs being suspect once we move in. Since we've pulled the trigger on one of our first brain children, our warehouse is rapidly filling.
so much so it's close to the time for a donation. Sean passes the joint back, interrupting my thoughts while bringing me back to the matter at hand.
What's your call on Fatty?
You already know the answer to that. I exhale, pissed Fatty is even an issue. Years ago, when I agreed to let him take part in our secrets, I had one reservation. Being privileged, Fatty never had enough skin in the game. Sean shakes his head in disappointment.
Damn, man. He's been good for business. You know he's loyal. Not to mention he gets the best smoke, he says, taking said smoke back.
We've got fuses lit everywhere, I remind him. We can't afford these kinds of fuck-ups so early on.
Why do I get the feeling you're talking about more than Fatty?
His stare hardens, and my lack of reply only pisses him off.
Come on, Dom. I told you the ink will always come first. You of all people know I don't need to be checked or chained.
I drop the blunt and run my boot over it. All right, then, tell me how you see this playing out.
In our favor, he claps my shoulder. Always, brother,
he assures as Tyler pulls into the garage parking lot with Fatty in tow. Fatty exits the truck, eyes darting between me and Sean as I take him in. Despite his nickname, he's no more than 130 pounds, and that's generous. His pet name is derived from the fact that he always manages to score the best bud and rolls it like it's his business, which he eventually made it, though he's never gone without a day in his fucking life. That truth is apparent as he's led toward us wearing designer jeans and shoes with a price tag that serves as a bitch slap to half the people in our town struggling daily just to keep the lights on. Sulking as he approaches, he looks every bit the sentenced motherfucker he knows he is due to his epic screw-up. Cuffs invisible, but there. Tyler extends Fatty's phone to me. He's clean. His password is in your texts. Opening my Camaro, I toss his phone in my passenger seat as Fatty starts pleading his case to me.
Dom, you had one job,
I cut in, tone deaf to any excuse he has prepared. Tuck and guard the van, and don't draw any attention to it or yourself, I relay. Fucking simple.
I wasn't in it.
Should we fucking thank you? Sean snaps before voicing the question of the hour.
Fatty, what the fuck are you buying pussy for? It wasn't like that, man. I didn't even realize.
Annoyed, I refuse him any time for the jury. You've been printed. You're of no use to us. As you well know, we don't associate with criminals. His expression lights with hope.
That's just it. My lawyer said we can probably get the charges reduced or dropped altogether because it was my first offense. You can still use me.
You've been printed. You're out. I relay the verdict, done with the conversation. No exceptions.
Come on, Dom. 3 fucking years. I've given you free green. I've done everything you asked.
If you had done what I asked, we wouldn't be having this talk. Fatty turns to Sean, as many so often do.
Come on, Sean. You know you can trust me.
Sean backs me up, refusing him.
We can't have you close to us, man. Not now. Maybe later on.
I jerk my chin. Don't fill his head with bullshit. I relay my decision again, temper flaring that he's still appealing his verdict. You're out. Hope the pussy was worth it.
Dom, you've known me since fucking high school. You know I'm loyal. Tell me what to do to make things right.
Fisting the collar of his overpriced t-shirt, I slam him against Tyler's truck to ensure he hears me. Tyler objects with an easy man as I glare at Fatty, whose mouth is gaping because I've never been this aggressive with him. Never had to be.
What I need is someone who can follow orders to the fucking letter without putting my entire goddamn family in jeopardy. Do you have any idea how hard we've worked to get to this point? Don't open your fucking mouth, Fatty. That question was rhetorical. The answer is no, you fucking don't. You wouldn't know anything about that, about real purpose, because all you've ever lived up to is your nickname. A fucking stoner who has no concept of real responsibility. You think this is a negotiation? It's not. Everyone was counting on you, but you got cocky because, unlike the rest of us, this is just a hobby for you, rich boy. So, what can you do? You can remember I have your father's fortune, your mother's pension, and your baby sister's college fund in the palm of my fucking hand. Fatty sags in my grip against Tyler's truck.
You don't have to threaten me, Dom. I won't say shit. I know I fucked up. This is on me.
I slam him back into the truck again. You were saying? He swallows and his eyes flare with the entitled anger I expect from so many like him, but he does the smart thing and keeps that shit close to his chest.
You're right. Threats aren't necessary, are they, Jonathan Daniel George?
So later, when that buzz lifts and you reach for your teddy bear tonight, remember I have your DNA and can use it to ruin your fucking life in a real way.
Releasing him, I hold his gaze. Don't forget, we silence bitter baby birds that never make it out of the nest. It would be in your best interest not to smoke that truth out of your memory. Get the fuck away from us and stay away.
Sean speaks up to console Fatty as he pulls out his keys.
That was fucking stupid, man. You were so close.
Fatty's reply has me perking up as he opens Tyler's passenger door.
It wasn't like that. She messaged me.
I thought as much, and now I have more work to do. Another undertaking to add to my list, and more importantly, a rogue bird to hunt.
8. Sipping my morning brew, I eye the NASDAQ feed scrolling at the bottom of my third screen. Satisfied with our portfolio's progress, I type in my last few commands on a new program I designed and fire it off. In seconds, a symphony of characters begins to populate in green across my second monitor. Grin spreading at the sight of it, I mentally pat myself on the back. In the last few hours, due to some digging on our crate discovery, I unintentionally ensnared a local fly whose vibration landed heavily on my web. This had me following him into a chat room where he made an inquiry. From there, I located his IP address and sent an update for his VPN program. Within a minute, the fly clicked on the bait that I had disguised in the software he believes keeps his web activity hidden, but in reality, gives me access to every single fucking click and command he's ever made. Homeland security is a myth. We aren't protected, we're wired, and our behaviors are observed and collected as data to help orchestrate the strategy on how best to manipulate the masses. The scariest part, it's fucking working. It's no longer necessary for the CIA to run government experiments using hallucinogens to practice mind control. All they have to do in the present is invent trapdoors within the global technology used by the masses in the day-to-day. Ironically, the one thing we need protection from is any side of government we ourselves are electing to power. Suspicions confirmed after a few minutes of digging and observation, I decide to monitor this fly closely in the coming weeks, which only adds to my growing task list of things to be dealt with sooner than later. Interference at this point is impossible due to the ever-increasing list I'm compiling by the day regarding the club and my plans for our future targets. But when the premonition hits hard again, I decide this particular fly will have to take priority at some point. I log out after tapping into the fly's bank account to alert me when any bulk purchases are made or any large sums are withdrawn. My main priority for the moment is to help Tyler uncover Roman's motivation to lure Cecilia here. A change of heart regarding the relationship with his only heir doesn't seem likely, nor does his regard for her financial future since he's allowed her to live impoverished her whole fucking life. Her forgiveness or desire for any relationship seems unlikely after so many years apart. Then there's the psychology on Roman's side. The first factor being his age. Aging men with icy hearts tend to start thawing when reminders of mortality begin to loom. His regret regarding his only child could be the key. Tyler and I have hashed out this logic in the weeks Cecilia has been here and remained skeptical, especially since Roman's still relatively young and hasn't had any recent health scares. And for an arrogant, callous, selfish fuck like Roman, I'm not convinced his motive has anything at all to do with Cecilia. Neither is Tyler. There's more to this. Something vital we're missing and have been missing. This is why we're hell-bent on making sure the picture we've been painting by numbers over the years to reflect an accurate representation of Roman isn't off by a single digit. No doubt Cecilia is just as confused as we are on Roman's motives, 8 years too late, but money has always been the greatest of motivators. The solution is in the problem. The why.
In order to get it, we need to tap that fucking house, especially if he's going to be sleeping there on the regular. Though her presence is a serious interference, and after failing to come up with a definitive motive, Sean's part ink, part cock-induced plan might have some merit to it. My hopes are sitting on all my brothers at this point, both in ink and blood. Both are disappointing me as of late, and I'm losing faith. Though this plan can't be rushed, I'll be damned if I don't figure out how to try to expedite the process to suit my timeline. As far as I can see, I'm the only fucking one it's paining, on all fronts, to keep our current speed. When my phone rumbles, my hopes are dashed that Tobias has returned my text when I see Tati filling the screen, and I reluctantly answer. Entering the lobby of the garage after dealing with my aunt for the better part of my day, I'm thankful it's well after close, which gives me the privacy I need without raising other birds' suspicions. Heading toward my toolbox in the commercial bay, I stop when I spot Cecilia spread out on the couch, book lifted and obstructing her view of me. It's clear she hadn't heard my approach due to the earbuds she's wearing and the way she sprawled out. Cheeks flushed, chest heaving. It's then I get why. Whatever she's reading has her fucking aroused, and I suspect seconds away from rubbing one out. Tempted to sit back and watch it happen for the ability to further fuck with her, my annoyance with her invasion wins and has me stalking toward her. Cecilia catches sight of me as I near and jackknives, pulling her earbuds out as she sputters an explanation as to why she's here.
I'm not alone. I mean, I am right now. Sean just went to grab a pack of cigarettes and beers with the guys.
Eyeing the print size of the book to avoid looking at her, I realize the garage isn't the only one of my safe havens she's invaded recently. Where did you get that? I ask, glowering at her from where I stand at the end of the couch. She nervously crosses her toned legs at the ankles, no longer at ease. Good. She shouldn't be so fucking comfortable in any of my spaces. Glancing down at her book, a barely there smile lifts her lips before she speaks.
The library. I checked it out the other day and snuck out another. It's kind of a tradition.
I'm all too aware of her little tradition. She was taking part in it the first time I saw her, which was supposed to be the last. Right now, I fucking hate the fact that it wasn't. Stupid fucking tradition, considering the books are free. And the library is off limits, I growl, knowing what a fucking idiot I sound like. Also, this is not a community playground, despite what Sean might have told you. Find somewhere else to spread out, I spit, eyeing the scrap of fabric she's excusing as a dress.
You're seriously saying the public library is yours?
The whole fucking town is mine, Cecilia. Her perfect features distort into anger, intensifying her beauty. As she stands quickly, losing grip on the hardback, which lands with a thwack on the floor behind her. Turning to retrieve it, she bends at the waist, inadvertently giving me a show. Between tanned, toned thighs, I spot a strip of cobalt blue panties. The thin material shifts with her movement, giving me a peek of her pussy as she painstakingly bends inch by inch to retain some modicum of modesty and fails. Inwardly groaning, I keep my gaze fixed where it shouldn't be as she rethinks her strategy. Bending at the knees, she palms the couch to stay upright, back ramrod straight as I clear the other side of the coffee table and snatch it up before she reaches it. Eyeing the title, The Bronze Horseman, I smirk and look up at her, making sure my exhale hits the gap between her thighs as I slowly stand, palming the couch and mimicking her ridiculous movement. Might want to return the 8-year-old's dress you borrowed if you plan on spending time in a place filled with heavy machinery. Then again, don't bother. This particular stop won't be frequent for you.
You're like a dark cloud, you know that? Can't spot a single sunray for shit with you hovering.
Just so long as we're clear.
That you're an entitled raging prick? We're crystal.
Bending to eye level, the tips of our noses close to brushing, her deep blues dilate as I invade her space. Assume what you will about me, or better yet, I press the book into her heaving chest and her glossy pink lips part. Stick with your bullshit fantasies of virtuous heroes in a non-existent reality. You're much safer there. Turning, I grab what I need to fill my toolbox before stalking out the side door. Every hair on my body stands on end as I adjust the hard-on straining against my zipper. Once again, I've been forced away from my second home in order to avoid more exposure to her and the way she stares at me. Too fucking much for too fucking long. At first, it seemed innocent enough and served its purpose. Now it's grating on me because no matter how many times I avoid her curious stare, I eventually look back at her. When I do, I'm reminded of why I've been avoiding her for the few weeks she's been here, a reason my body no longer refuses to ignore. The need to fuck her. More than that, I want to do it in a way that punishes Sean's prized new pet while making an example out of her, so he finally gets the goddamned memo. Sean's smitten, it's obvious to everyone, and it's just a matter of time before he fucks her, if he hasn't already. But soon he'll be made aware of just how much he fucked up. No matter how perfect our enemy's daughter is, and I can admit that much, she's getting in the way of our agenda, and more importantly, our friendship. Even if she's nothing more than a defenseless mouse caught in a trap we didn't set, she's got Roman's blood pumping in her veins. I'll make it a point to make fucking sure Sean starts to see it that way, because his assurances are getting weaker by the day. Stalking through the graveyard of cars at the back of our shop, I spot the one I have in mind. I head over to it, pissed I didn't drag a shop light out with me as the sun threatens to set, the need to keep my distance taking precedence. With Cecilia, I don't like who I am or the effect she has on me when we're around each other. She's a rare type of flame, far too close to my fuse, which is shortening by the day, some because of her invasion, most of it due to the constant nightmares looping in my mind. Despite my actions, I take little pleasure in how I've treated her. Like Tobias, I see women as innocent bystanders of our cause. This makes them an inconvenience after we use them for our selfish purposes, which is why I don't hook up often. My progression in that department is stunted because of what I have to offer, what I've always had to offer when it comes to women. Nothing. At this point, it's about protection. Cecilia's allure is just as fucking dangerous to us as it is to her. Opening the hood of the Buick, I add another task to my list. To prove it to Sean before she does.
9. An alarming number of warehouse robberies have taken place in downtown Charlotte in the last 3 days, costing freight shipping mogul Anthony Spencer of Export Execs an estimated $1.8 million in merchandise. The radio anchor reports as I pull up to the warehouse. Idling in my Camaro, I scan our bustling compound as the reporter drones on. Authorities believe that Spencer is being directly targeted, but the police have no leads at this time. They ask if anyone has any information. Killing the engine, I exit as Peter backs his fleet van into the warehouse next to Jeremy's, which is being unloaded to add Spencer's merch to our stock of goods. Loaded dollies are carted toward the warehouse as Denny stops them taking inventory before they're hauled in. Russell pulls the last van up as satisfaction runs through me, and I shoot off a text to Tyler and wait for Sean. All birds safely in the nest. Jeremy exits the driver's side of his van and makes his way toward me, pride evident in his eyes. Peter is on his heels and his expression is lit with the same sentiment. It's earned because it's one of Peter's first major scores while being a part of our secret. Where's Sean? I glance back at the open security gate.
Cecilia asked him to teach her how to drive and they took off.
Jeremy supplies, stalking toward where I stand just outside my driver's door.
We grabbed the vans and came just after. But did you see her in that fucking dress? I don't think I'd show up for roll call if I had that ass in my driver's seat either.
Russell joins us with Peter on his heels, both seemingly just as high from the take, as they should be. Everything we stole was lifted without sounding a single fucking alarm until after the fact. Just after, each bird drove the loaded vans to different safe houses to lay low for a few days until we could get them here without detection. Just in case, they were spotted in conjunction with the robberies and suspicions were raised. The extra steps are necessary since the local police are still in Roman's palms due to years of overgenerous contributions. But our time is coming. This latest, long-awaited egg is finally hatching as Sean resumes digging at Horner Tech, inevitably coming up as empty as he did the first time he worked there. To me, we're continually beating a dead horse with that route. Any evidence of Roman's cover-up was no doubt destroyed and swept up the night my parents perished in that fire. So, while Sean being back at Tech is a waste of time, all isn't lost because his current station has him keeping an easy watch on Cecilia. It's Roman's chokehold on her regarding her inheritance that's making it hard for Sean to gain full access to the house. Roman berated her by email on day two for having Sean over, stating that visitors are to be kept to a minimum. We've decided not to press it because we don't want him investigating the company she's keeping. In the last few days, I've made peace with the fact that Cecilia will be more of a fixture at our garage until the right opportunity strikes. That was until Sean decided to invite her tonight of all fucking nights, prolonging our delivery to the warehouse, which is why we were having words before and after she rolled up. For now, we have no choice but to allow her into our space and mix her in where we can. This means exposing her to all of us and keeps her curious, noticing too much for my comfort. Which reminds me.
You hear the news?
Jeremy boasts, stepping up to me as I eye the ski mask still hanging from his back pocket.
It's every fucking where, and they don't have shit.
The news, I nod. Yeah, okay, let's start there. Jeremy's brows pull in confusion, as does Peter's, and Russell stiffens when I turn to him and hold my index finger at eye level.
What are you doing?
Jeremy asks, darting his eyes between me and Russell, a goofy grin plastered on his face. Think of my finger as the news, Jeremy, I utter, moving my pointer back and forth just in front of Russell's nose. His eyes follow, his own expression confounded. Watching the news, Jeremy? I snap, slowly running my finger back and forth along Russell's line of sight.
Yep,
Jeremy says. His quick reply is jovial, as if he's in on my joke. I run it past Russell one last time and hold it before sucker-punching Jeremy with my free fist.
Motherfucker!
Jeremy grips his nose as Russell and Peter burst into surprised laughter.
The fuck, Dob?
Jeremy groans, tone muddled, eyes watering. See what happens when you pay attention to the diversion instead of what's going on in your own fucking reality? Jeremy examines his bloody fingers.
You could have used a different tactic to get your point across, dickhead.
I could have, I say, snatching the ski mask from his back pocket and holding it out to him to reiterate my point. But now you know why I didn't. Guilt-filled eyes lift to mine as he draws the conclusion intended. Cecilia spotted the ski mask hanging out of his back pocket earlier while they were shooting pool and spoke up about it. A conversation I hadn't gotten to have with him yet and just made unnecessary. Even if Jeremy played it off expertly, it drew more suspicion from her.
Sorry, man,
Jeremy grits out.
I fucked up.
You think? I draw out in monotone.
Won't happen again, hand to God, man. My fucking bad.
Yeah, next time, leave the fucking uniform at home, especially when you didn't even need it. And you know who the news is controlled by, I remind him. You're better off believing conspiracy theorists at this point. At least there's some merit there.
So Tupac is alive and well and living in Cuba?
Jeremy snarks. You know better because they exterminate all the truth tellers.
You Nostradamus now?
Jeremy antagonizes due to his swelling nose and battered pride. Stepping into his space as he retreats, I command his gaze. Yeah, I'm a prophet, and here's my prediction. When those doling out the selected forecast have everyone panicking about the price of an apple and a tank of gas so they can sneak more control through proposed legislation, having already taken freedoms fought for and won decades ago, we're all fucked. I palm his chest and lightly shove him. That's why we can't get too cocky or parade around like idiots. There's too much at stake. He nods, wiping his nose with his mask as I put him in a headlock and roughly knuckle his scalp. And we already know they don't have shit. Breaking my hold, Jeremy looks over to me, eyes assessing as I give him due props. Other than your shitty oversight, you did good. His expression lights up at my rare praise before I turn to Russell and Peter. You too. Peter beams as he looks over the dollies full of merch being unloaded by recruits as Russell utters a low, thanks, seemingly lost in his thoughts. Pun intended, Russell is a rare bird who's no doubt still mulling over my words, He's made it clear his goal is to run his own chapter at some point, so he's always paying careful attention to our words, actions, and strategies, especially mine. Of all our circle, he and I have the most in common. Like me, Russell comes from a family of immigrants who came to the U.S. to seek a piece of the illusion. His mother was born and raised Japanese. His father was a military brat raised on the Yokota Air Base. The second his dad was of age, he married Russell's mother and brought her back to the States to seek his piece of the American dream. What Russell's dad failed to realize, by not reading the fine print, is that if you gain sudden fortune of any kind, it better be in the multi-millions. Because once Uncle Sam is flagged, he'll be coming for his portion, which is only a few percentage points short of the lion's share. And if you spend your American uncle's money, he becomes a loan shark, and if you don't pay, the reimbursement is freedom. The judge made an example out of Russell's dad, leaving him fatherless for most of his formative years. We're a lot alike in that Russell is also more of a man of action and rarely feels comfortable saying more than a few sentences unless he's surrounded by us, his chosen family. Looking over at Jeremy and Peter, I can feel the excitement of what's brewing between us, all growing up in similar circumstances. Feral kids with no one looking for or calling us home while we did the best we could with our dealt hands. Jeremy sniffs, his nostrils coated in red as remorse kicks in for the shit I just pulled. He's bound to fuck up here and there, as we all are until he can fly solo. Same as Peter, whose fresh ink is in the midst of scabbing over. Tyler enlisted Peter in a jail cell the cops had locked him in the hope it would scare him straight. He was an unprinted juvenile on the verge of a life of crime, which made him a prime candidate for us. What the cops didn't know or care to recognize is that an empty stomach is a major fucking motivator. Peter had turned to thieving to keep the electricity on in the sad excuse of a trailer he resided in, which Tyler had relayed had a gaping hole in the floor. His short stint in burglary was an attempt to feed his infant sister after his abusive dad bailed. Glancing between the three of them, I hate the fact that we have these particulars in common. Unlike Fatty, the birds surrounding me have major skin in the game. And it's our job, my job, to ensure any mistakes made at this point are few and reversible, and I've barely had a spare second to put the time in with any of them since I got back to Triple. Get some rest. We're just getting started, I warn, pulling out my keys.
Where are you off to?
Jeremy asks, sucker punch forgiven. Shit to do. More importantly, a bird to find. Hey, Dom? Peter speaks up, hesitation evident before he lifts a shame-filled gaze to mine. In our hall, I saw some coloring books and take it, I say, looking between the three of them. Take whatever you want or need. Just make sure you log it with Denny. Thanks, man. Peter says, eyes alight, heading toward the compound with Jeremy. Russell hesitates before turning. Something on your mind, man? I call to his back. He stops his retreat into the building and glances back at me.
I'm just... Thanks, Dom.
It's what we do, I tell him. Remember that if guilt-induced insomnia hits anytime soon. His lips lift.
Trust me, it won't.
Good to hear. We share a grin before he turns to head inside. Watching him walk away to join the others in celebration, a sense of pride floods me. It's working. We're taking care of our own. It's no longer planning and daydreaming about our future. We're living it. All of the plotting and the effort to get to this point is proving worth it. Deciding a celebratory blunt is in order, and that there's only one bird I want to share it with, I check my phone to see Sean hasn't responded to my text. All hopes of celebrating with him dashed as I pull up the tracking app attached to his Nova to see he's parked on some dead-end back road. No big fucking mystery as to what he's doing. Cecilia. Behind the wheel, I fire up my car as my phone rumbles, a text from Tyler filling my screen. T. Got a bite on the line. A little weight eases from my shoulders as I reply. At least Tyler's focused. By all means. Reel it in. 10. The following night, Sean stands just outside his driver's door, his phone to his ear. I kick back against my Camaro and wait, scanning the towering mountains and the pitch-black sky. He coos into the phone, catching my gaze before giving me a drawn-out wink.
You know I could tuck you in properly if you'd let me.
Uninterested in his performance, which seems to be for my benefit, I jerk my chin to get him to hurry it along so we can get to work.
Agree to disagree, Sean replies, ignoring my prompt. You never did tell me about your dream this morning.
He waits patiently for her response.
I haven't given you enough already? Ouch, you're going to pay for that.
Me too.
See you tomorrow.
Night, pup.
Sean clips his phone closed before locking it into his Nova, his other hand holding the Glock he's had trained on Clint since I pulled up. Tyler found our dirty bird. It took a few days to lure Clint in after Tyler set the trap, but Sean stepped in, taking responsibility once Tyler identified him. Clint whimpers, kneeling at our feet, looking every bit the strung-out junkie he is. Lit by our collective headlights, his sunken eyes dart around as he tries to construct an adequate excuse to help him out of his current situation. Sean rips off the masking tape that's muffling Clint. When I step forward, Sean gives me an adamant shake of his head.
This is on me.
I dip my chin, though I'm dying to unleash. But rules are rules, and when it comes to Sean's own recruits, it's his call. Sean kneels in front of Clint, casually draping the gun on his thigh.
You thought we wouldn't find out, Clint? Is that what you thought?
Clint, already on the verge of sobbing, speaks up.
I just needed.
Oh, I know what you needed, Sean snaps. It's one thing to poison yourself to the point you got cut out of secrets. It's another entirely to spread that poison.
Sean leans in.
Think we wouldn't pinpoint how Fatty got pinched and printed? Did you think we would kick him out and leave it there? You yourself should know that we don't half-ass anything. That's how we keep our secrets.
Sean pulls a prescription bottle from his pocket and shakes it in front of Clint's face.
You know what that sound is, Dom?
What's that? Sean obnoxiously shakes the bottle in a taunt.
That's a junkie's maiden call.
Spittle runs from Clint's mouth as he speaks.
I'll get clean. I'll do whatever you want.
Hear that, Dom? Sean snaps with disgust. He'll do whatever we want. His girlfriend ODs 3 weeks ago and barely survives, but this is his wake-up call.
Sean uncaps the bottle before balancing the small pill on the tip of his finger, and Clint's eyes follow.
You got hooked and poisoned everyone around you, but then you lost your spot with us and your respect. No bird wanted to deal with you or let you in on their secrets, so you took it upon yourself to sell Fatty out to steal from your own. I'm going to give you one fucking chance to confirm what I already know.
Clint nods and sniffs.
Fatty and I were smoking a spliff at his place a few days before.
His expression falters, as do his words, as the fear of his confession eats at him. Sean dips his chin as Clint sputters out the rest.
I spotted one of the vans at his place. It was under a tarp, but I knew what was going down because I'd done the service calls in the past, and I'd been trying to get in on it.
He harshly exhales, closing his eyes as Sean presses the Glock to his forehead.
And?
No one would let me ride passenger, so I scoped Fatty's house, waiting on him to leave. I wasn't going to take it all, just a little off the top, I swear.
Sean shoots him a withering stare, fed up with his hesitation.
But he wouldn't leave the van, so I got him distracted. I knew the girl and offered her some money, but I didn't know she would get popped that night.
He shakes his head.
That was pure fucking coincidence. I didn't mean for him to get picked up. I was trying to buy time to get some merch to sell. You've got to believe me, man. I wouldn't.
Sean presses the Glock in harder so Clint's head is forced back a few inches.
You fucking did. And Fatty lost his chance at getting inked in the process. That's so fucking cold, man. Must have stung when you found the van empty. You cost us a decent bird with that bullshit.
Sean sighs, looking over at me as Clint sputters more meaningless apologies.
I'm so fucking sorry, Sean.
The saddest part is that knowing how we work, you thought you might get away with it.
Sean nods toward me and I grip Clint's head as Sean forces him to take a pill. Clint gasps before Sean clamps his mouth closed, uncapping a water and forcing Clint to drink and swallow. Sean taps out another pill, and Clint fearfully eyes the bottle. As Sean moves in, Clint holds up his bound wrists in a useless attempt to protect himself.
Sean, please, I can't.
What? Don't like Oxy anymore?
Isn't this what you were going to steal from your brothers for?
Clint looks up at Sean, his expression pathetic.
Sean, stop saying my fucking name. You think I don't know the psychology in that? You think it's going to change my mind, make me think twice?
Sean exhales slowly in disappointment.
I know you're flesh and bone. I know you consist of heart and soul, but yours went in the wrong direction. It's way too late to plead your case. Open up.
Sean force-feeds Clint another pill and caps the bottle before standing and lighting a cigarette. Snapping his Zippo closed, he runs his thumb along his lower lip as he weighs his next words.
God damn it, man. I don't fucking enjoy this, Clint. None of us do. But your junky judgment had you ignoring one of the most important fucking rules and betraying the promise inked on your skin, and we can't let that go. You know that.
He drags off his smoke, posture resigned.
This is so much more important than me or you, than any of us. I took you under my wing. I gave you everything I had, and you do me like this? The rules are simple. No drugs, no guns, and no innocence. We don't buy, trade, or sell people, and we sure as fuck don't sell out our own. But you were willing to barter your own brother to get a fucking fix.
Clint shakes his head in denial as I approach from behind and cock my own gun, pressing it to the back of his greasy head. I wonder if anyone will miss him. Clint screams in protest.
Wait, wait!
Sean looks over to me.
Should we wait, Dom? He's already picked his poison, haven't you, Clint? Over yourself, over the people you love, over your fucking brothers?
Clint attempts to hang his head and Sean fists his hair, forcing his gaze back up.
No, man, nobody gets to fuck me with their eyes closed. Sean, I'll fix this. I'll get better.
Sean's eyes deaden, and I know playtime is over when he speaks up.
It's funny that you're pleading with me, and I get it. He gestures toward me. Dom looks like a menacing motherfucker, but me? I paint a different picture and mostly represent it until you fuck with what matters to me most, and well...
Sean tosses his cigarette down and grinds it out with his boot before uncapping the bottle and palming another pill, his expression lethal.
This is where I start looking scary.
Clint opens his mouth with a soundless gasp, spittle running down the sides before Sean forces another pill into his mouth. Clint spits it out, choking out his pleas.
Fuck, man. Please, you know me.
Thought I did,
Sean says, tilting his head.
Are you even salvageable, Clint? I guess that's the question being posed now, right? Good from bad, right or wrong? Are you the bad guy or am I? Maybe I'm both, but I'm the one who brought you in, and therefore you are my responsibility. Clearly my judgment was skewed, and your fucking memory is lacking because you forgot that when you fuck with one of us, you fuck with all of us. Time's up.
Clint's eyes widen in horror as Tyler pulls up in his car and exits, dressed like midnight, ball cap pulled low. Tightening black gloves on his fingers, Tyler takes a spot next to me as Sean shakes the bottle in front of Clint's face to regain his attention.
How many is too many? He leers at Clint. Should we play roulette with your life the way you did with my club? Wouldn't want you to miss your fix. Open up.
Sean shoves the pill in Clint's mouth and Clint again spits it out as he sputters useless apologies.
I'm sorry. I'm so fucking sorry. I didn't mean for it to go this far.
Sean scoffs.
Tell that to Fatty. Hope this high is the lowest you ever get, man. I truly do. How will I ever be able to trust you with that ink again?
Tyler steps forward, his expression void of all emotion as he stares down at Clint in full executioner mode. Clint's eyes light, hope in his tone.
I can prove it. In my glove box is my second burner. You'll see my text to her. You'll see the whole conversation. I didn't talk to anyone else. It was just me and her, I swear. And all I offered her was money. She never knew why.
You better fucking pray it's enough.
Sean spits, exhausting the last of his wrath. Tyler reads Sean's budding inner struggle and nudges him aside. Let me take it from here. Sean replies with a nod as Clint screams for him while Tyler drags him to the passenger side of the Honda before shoving him into the passenger seat. Retrieving the phone from the glove box, Tyler hands it to me and I pocket it. At Clint's driver's door, Tyler glances between the two of us as Clint's screams echo to us, muted by the snap of the car door before Tyler pulls away. Sean's Zippo sounds, and I turn to see him scrubbing his face before cursing and hanging his head. I step up to him, knowing his conscience will eat away at him in the days to come.
"This is war, brother," I remind him. "First fucking battle of many."
"I know, man. I get it, and we're counting on the loyalty of the one variable we can't control. People."
His statement lingers, resonating with so much fucking truth as he looks over to me, the toll of what just transpired clear in his posture.
"I was so sure about him. And now," he looks back toward Clint's retreating car.
Sean's always believed intuition is his greatest gift, and I don't correct him, because in that respect, he's impeccable at deciphering the good eggs from bad. He can read people easily, anticipate their needs, and manipulate them for our benefit if necessary. The truth is, he's an empath to his core. His kryptonite is that he feels every part of what just happened, while I can remain objective and detached. This situation won't affect me a second after I drive away, but Sean won't forget it anytime soon. He'll lose sleep over Clint's fate and carry the weight with him.
"Do you believe him?" I ask as he exhales a long stream of smoke.
"It doesn't matter if I do, does it?"
For Sean's sake, I find myself hoping what Clint gave us is enough as we stand side by side, watching his taillights fade until they disappear.
11.
"I'm heading out,"
Sean utters low, toting an overstuffed laundry bag down the stairs as I refill my coffee cup. He searches my expression for a verdict on Clint, and I shake my head in response that I don't have one yet. My guess is that his excursion for clean clothes is his excuse to escape club business for the day. He's been sulking since we watched Clint's taillights disappear a few nights ago. He hit the bottle hard when the headline popped up of a local missing man whose car was found in a busy shopping center. I decide to make it a priority to let him know one way or another as soon as I've done my due diligence. As often as Sean and I have collectively pulled the trigger on the deserving, it's completely different when a fellow bird's fate is at stake.
"Want some help?"
At the front door, he tosses a hesitant look my way, and I gather that he's already got help lined up. Dipping my chin, I give him the out he needs. If he wants to bury his grief and Dick and Cecilia, it's his prerogative. When he opens his mouth to speak some useless excuse, I wave him off. "I've got shit to do." He pauses just after he opens the front door, searching for words that might mean something to me. Just after he realizes they won't, the door snaps shut behind him. Taking the stairs two at a time after a late shift at the garage, intent on returning to my passion project, I stop mid-step when a raspy moan reaches me. Through the rails at the top, I find the source pinned to the small patch of wall at the end of the hall between Sean and Tyler's bedroom doors. Head thrown back, eyes closed, one of her legs is draped over Sean's bare shoulder as he greedily eats her pussy. My blood simmers at the sight of it. Just as I predicted, Sean medicated his feelings with Cecilia. In his decision to drown in her, he also opened his bed and our fucking home, which changes things. Fury starts to boil just beneath my skin as I speculate about his motivation. Sean's Nova wasn't in the drive when I rolled up, and neither was hers, so how the fuck did they get here? My guess is Tyler, who probably dropped them off and had sense enough to leave just after. Sean had to have heard me pull up, but by the way he's eagerly feeding, he might not have. It's Cecilia's cries that break up my circling theories when she grips Sean's hair and starts to buck against his mouth. Eyes still firmly shut, Sean pulls back, tilting his head up at her while spearing her with his fingers, giving me a glimpse of her exposed flesh. My cock jerks at the sight of it, of the ecstasy etched on her face. Blood pounds in my ears as the rest gathers below. No matter how much I want to, I can't fucking look away. So I don't. Knowing that if her eyes open, she'll catch me, I remain where I stand as she gets lost in Sean's coaxing.
"Wanna come, Pop?"
Sean utters, his voice coated in lust.
"Please."
She whimpers as he coats his fingers with her arousal before massaging her as she bucks into his hand. Sean dives back in, and Cecilia erupts, face flushing as she pants out his name, her thighs shaking around his head as she digs her bare heel into his back. The sight and sound of her coming unleashes a desperate fucking need inside me. Hairs rising on the back of my neck, my angry dick pulses in my jeans, demanding attention, and I refuse it. Unshackling myself, I hit the bottom of the stairs just as Sean's door closes. Paralyzed, where I stand, Cecilia's muffled moans resume from behind it. Senses acute, my cock threatens a revolt as I catch the sound of the running refrigerator along with the tick of a tiny clock on a nearby shelf. Refusing to entertain the obnoxious throb in my jeans, I stalk toward the sliding door and into the side yard. I glance around as if something nearby might bring me some relief. Taking the bench seat, I lift the bar and start a dead press. Mentally warring, I continue to press in an effort to erase the images of her lust-covered features, the sight of her landing strip and dripping pussy, and the fucking sounds that came out of her as she orgasmed. Even if he wanted me to see it, to face my attraction for her, he couldn't have manipulated the timing that much. Then again, we're masters at deception. Sean doesn't do anything without thinking it through. Maybe he's fighting her effect on him, desperate to believe the lies he's telling, and losing. Perhaps this once, when it comes to her, he doesn't have the fucking answer. None of us do. Instinct guides my every move and decision at this point in my life, always has. It was not until I reached adulthood that I could fully recognize it for what it is. As faithfully as I follow, I sometimes wish it was more subtle. It's anything but, always thrumming through me with unexplainable force, while, at times, screaming at me to obey, refusing to give me any fucking peace. Like now, as I'm roused from a much-needed dead sleep with the familiar inkling that I'm being watched and without opening my eyes, by who? That knowledge jolts me alert, and my eyes pop open to see her standing just outside the guest bathroom. Even feet away, it's easy to make out the lust in her expression. Seeing she's just as turned on as she was hours ago, I remain motionless, conveniently but unintentionally spread out for her viewing pleasure. Taking her time, she soaks in every bared inch of me before settling her gaze on my cock, a cock that's already betraying me as it stirs at the sight of her looking freshly fucked, lips swollen, wearing nothing but Sean's t-shirt. Her own alarm bells kick off as she senses my stare just before her desire-filled blue eyes fly to mine and widen. The now familiar electricity passes between us, my answering stare full of dare as I flick my gaze to my cock. A cock that now stands full fucking mast. I lift my chin a fraction just as she sputters out an apology before scurrying away like a fucking mouse. As Sean's door quietly closes due to Cecilia's hasty retreat, I can't help but feel for the son of a bitch for his latest bold move. Intentional or not, he's been baiting me with her since she got here. It's past time for his wake-up call. And hers. Gloves off, sweetheart. 12. Cha-ching. The ping jars me from the image of Cecilia running her hands along my dick when we faced off in the kitchen yesterday. I'd done my worst, and even in doing it, the hum of attraction was there, only strengthening with our latest sparring match, this one heavily incited by me. She'd given just as good as she got, but Sean's latest test backfired in the end. He'd purposely left her in my path, again, and failed to make his point, again. She's nowhere near ready or has the strength to endure the trials of being in our world. The more he tries, the more his efforts have proven futile. The dead sergeants ring out through my earbuds as I eye the New Balance in our piggy bank. Scanning the NASDAQ feed when the exchange opens for the day, the local news simultaneously pops up, streaming on another screen. Satisfaction thrums through me when I search for and discover Spencer's company stock is plummeting, according to plan. Once we've gathered enough evidence to bury him for the guns we found at the warehouse, it's RIP for Spencer and on to the next target. Just as I think it, my phone rattles with an incoming text from Tyler. T. Meet you at the garage. Annoyance flares when I catch another whiff of the fucking carrot cake Cecilia plastered to my head yesterday, and I decide another shower is in order. Moving to push away from my desk, I pause when I catch a headline flash across the screen. Local women's shelter receives a staggering donation. Killing the streaming music, I turn up the volume just as the anchor cues the reporter on site.
I'm standing outside Chance 2 Women's Shelter with Director Loretta Dawson, where just days ago an anonymous donor had a truck delivered. The truck was filled to the brim with supplies and non-perishables that will stock their pantry well through the new year. An unexpected but much-needed donation. Can you tell us a little more about that, Loretta?
Sean's old Sunday school teacher steps up, a mix of nerves and excitement in her expression.
When the truck pulled up, we were just blown away. We've received some generous donations in the past, but nothing of this magnitude. We were close to shutting our doors even after our annual fundraiser last month. We're so thankful to whoever found it inside themselves to gift us the ability to keep the shelter going and potentially change dozens of women's lives.
Satisfied, I lower the volume before cracking my neck and pushing away. Muscles screaming due to pulling another all-nighter, I dread the long hours ahead. Heading toward the bathroom, my personal cell buzzes in my hand. Pissed it's not my brother, who's left my last two texts asking for a call unanswered. Dread blankets me when Blue Ridge Medical fills my screen. In the bathroom, I study the dark half-moons under my eyes in the mirror as I answer. Hello?
Dominic King?
This is he.
I'm sorry to call so early. It's just that you're...
I hear the flip of a page.
Aunt Delphine? Well, she's early for her chemo appointment and in no state to drive herself home.
Cupping the back of my head, I inhale a deep breath for patience. How early? With her reply, I scrub my jaw. Can you keep her there? I can be there in an hour. Hearing the woman panic at what's sure to be the longest fucking hour of her life, I thank her and hang up before starting my shower. Once stripped, I palm the tiles, letting the water rain down my back as I close my eyes. Jesus Christ. It's the only prayer I can muster. Somewhat revived after a brisk, cold rinse, I pull on my King's tee before kicking into my boots. Taking the stairs with what little energy I have, I'm halfway down when Sean glances up from where he stands behind the kitchen island, the news still running on the living room TV. See it? I nod as he grabs a mug from the cabinet, scouring me as he pours me a cup before pushing it over the island and offering. Another all-nighter? I grunt, taking a hearty sip before the bitching commences. Need you whole, man? Can't keep burning the candle at both ends. I don't see anyone else around here capable of handling my workload my way, and someone has to organize the mess that was left for me. According to your impossible standards, he snarks, did we really fuck up so badly holding the fort down while you were in Boston? You feeling needy? I ask between sips. Want a compliment? If I'm in need of anything or anyone right now, it's not you. By the way, thanks for fucking that up for me. She snuck out last night without a word and won't text me back this morning. I lift my cup and salute. Anytime. So it was intentional. As intentional as you leaving her here yesterday without playing guard dog, I shrug. Maybe you didn't drill your point into her good enough with your little makeup fuck. I believe you heard evidence to the contrary. You're confusing me with someone who gives a damn. I've got more important shit to deal with right now than your fuck life. Say what you will, man, but even with Tyler on our collective asses, you're the one currently sabotaging progress. She needs to know her place. I understand why this is hard on you, but you can't keep holding her ignorance against her when she doesn't know what you're really about. If you'd give her half a goddamn chance, I think she'll surprise you. He palms the counter. If you're honest with yourself, she already has. You understand? I walk around and stare out of the kitchen window, scanning the cloud-covered mountain ridge beyond our backyard. Yeah, I don't think you do. Then we need to talk about this. What we need to do is get to the fucking garage. Tyler's waiting. Sean sets his cup in the sink next to me as I dump mine in a travel mug, grabbing the pod and filling it to the brim before capping it. Sean turns to me, and even as pissed as he is, his expression leaks with concern. Want me to drive you? I'm good. He bites his lip ring briefly before pinning me.
Are we good?
He tries to get a read on me as I duck my head and grab my keys over the Cecilia conversation altogether.
What do you want to hear?
The fucking truth. I'm not going to lie to you. There's potential there, not just for me, but for us, collectively, long term. I pause the travel mug at my lips.
Now you're thinking long term?
Isn't that the point of this? I see it in her, and I think you're pissed you can see it too.
I see a mouse.
Whatever, have it your way. If you wanted me to back off, you've made your point crystal fucking clear. Just so you know, you could have saved us all the dramatics and just told me outright.
My fist didn't clue you in.
He runs a hand through his scattered hair, perplexed.
I thought we fucking settled this.
We did. Not my problem, she couldn't hack it. It was your little experiment that went awry. That's on you.
Right, fuck it.
Sean pulls his keys out and turns to leave. And I glance back out of the window to the world that awaits. A world I want no fucking part of if I can't play the role I want to within it. That's where Sean comes in. He's been my liaison to the outside well before my perpetual state of unrest. While the rest of my brothers remain focused on their agendas, Sean's always kept my back first and foremost. Even if his current motives with Cecilia are fucking selfish and asking a lot, he won't betray me when it matters most. Of that much, I'm certain.
We're good.
He pauses and studies me for sincerity.
You mean that?
I do. Even if he's decided to make Cecilia a hobby, Sean doesn't do long term. Whatever he has brewing with her will fizzle out one way or the other. So what do I give a fuck if he's getting something personally out of it? It's part of who he is and what he needs. Something I've never identified with but always understood about him. If he's going to be distracted by any woman, who better than the one that will lead us closer to destroying Roman?
Yeah, Romeo, I quip. But just so you know, she's just another in a long line of Rosalinds.
Think what you will, but I'm straight up telling you otherwise. And I'm not sure you are or can ever be good with it. As much as I like her, and I truly fucking do, he admits, running his hands through his hair. It can end now. This impasse she's decided on can be an out, so I'm leaving the ball in your court to decide.
He lingers to make sure his following words are heard, along with his warning.
But if you do decide to let her through, I'm bringing her all in.
His declaration has me pausing all movement.
And the consequences?
On me, he declares before turning and stalking out the front door.
Stunned by his willingness to vouch for her, especially after her meltdown yesterday, I follow and lock up. After cranking our engines to warm them up, I glance over to see him smiling through our lowered windows while classic rock begins to filter through his speakers.
Let's wake you up.
I crank up my own music to drown his noise out, and he shakes his head in annoyance. In the next second, he's spinning tires to lead us out of the neighborhood, and I put my Camaro into gear and follow. At the stop sign, I pull up next to him so our hoods are lined up. After three collaborative revs of our engines for a countdown, we both rocket into motion, claiming both lanes of the main road. Sean grabs the advantage when I'm forced behind him by an oncoming car. I can practically hear his sarcastic rebuttal when I floor my Camaro and bullet past him. The long double tap of his horn is an unmistakable fuck you as we fly down the road. Sean starts to gain on me when another oncoming car forces me to slow and roll into his lane. The driver lays on his horn. A fucking idiots! Screamed as we zoom past. Sean guns it as I straddle both lanes, anticipating his every move, his hood dangerously close to my bumper as I block his maneuvering to stay ahead. I glance in my rearview, chuckling.
I may be seeing two of you, brother, but you're both behind me.
When we approach our last right turn, I allow him to dart past me, and I quickly decide to cut the corner of a dry field, tires skidding back onto the pavement as I reclaim my lead and give it everything I've got. Sean repeatedly sounds his horn as I chuckle, already tasting my victory. We take one last dicey turn, and Sean recovers faster, gaining ground and flipping the bird out of his window as we go hood to hood on the straightaway. Opening up, I go full throttle, knowing horsepower has everything to do with the last stretch, and this is where I have slightly more edge.
My engine wins as I gain a full car length before fishtailing into King's parking lot and stopping on a dime. Sean pulls into the space next to me, just as I exit. He lingers at his driver's door, addressing me over the roof of his Nova.
You're fucking ridiculous. You know that? The rules are simple.
He slices his hand left and right.
Stay between the mayonnaise and mustard.
Since when are you a stickler for rules? Oh yeah, only when I'm dusting your ass. If you spent a little more time under your hood than under skirts, you might actually fucking beat me one day. Sean shuts his car door and joins me at mine.
Day isn't over yet, asshole.
He claps me on the back as we head toward the lobby door for Tyler's update. Tyler's made it his mission since our warehouse heist to get to the bottom of the who by utilizing his military contacts. Our major setback with this is that if we attempt to dish out justice on something of this caliber, it could bring attention to our secret. Just as I'm sifting through the odds we're up against, Tyler pulls into the parking lot. We both head toward his truck for an update when I hear my name called. 13. Sean and I both turn to see Ginger getting out of her Chevy sedan. We'd missed her idling there when we pulled in. Doing my best not to show how her unexpected presence is fucking up my morning, Sean leans over to me in a whisper as we start walking her way.
You fucking with Ginger again?
Our collective boots crunch gravel as I take in Ginger's dress, appreciating her beauty as I always have. We hooked up when I first got home. It was a one-time welcome home fuck.
Well, welcome home. You're fucked,
he chuckles, adding a back clap as I glare at him in warning. Ginger steps up to us, dark red hair flying in the breeze, brown eyes darting between us as Sean takes the lead, his shit-eating grin firmly in place. Normally, he wouldn't take so much joy out of my discomfort, but it's clear he's in it today for payback. For Cecilia. That idea gnaws at me as Sean speaks up, addressing her.
Hey, Ginger. Looking beautiful this morning.
She gives him a soft,
thank you,
before cautiously focusing back on me, her expression letting me know I haven't managed to mask shit. I've made her feel unwanted. Needing to say something to ease her discomfort, I fucking fail to produce the words before she speaks up.
Can I talk to you for a second?
I lift my chin to Sean, who takes his cue and painstakingly walks backward, eyes darting between us. Ignoring my scowl, he addresses Ginger.
Just got a new place. Don't know if Dom told you, but you're welcome anytime.
Thanks, Sean.
Sean joins Tyler as he glances our way, lifting his chin to let me know the news he has is time sensitive before he greets Ginger with a friendly wave. I nod to let him know I'm coming.
I won't take much of your time,
Ginger assures, pulling my attention her way.
It's good. You good?
I'm so fucking bad at this. I've never been able to do small talk, not even when I've wanted to. At one point years ago, specifically with Ginger, I wanted to. I don't bother to attempt it anymore. Where I continually fail, Sean would have already talked a prior hookup into a more intimate setting and gotten balls deep, making her forget the reason she showed up. A talent he possesses that I'm at times envious of, if only for this fucking reason. It's also why I've shared with Sean in the past when an opportunity presented itself. He takes pleasure in the whole fucking charade while I refuse to. When it's run its course, he's always been the one to let them down gently before I fuck it all up with the blunt truth or my inability to use words when it matters most. That is why Tyler used it against me in the yard that day. It's fucking humiliating, and that point is driven home as Ginger patiently waits on me. She's always been a rare exception, and never held my weakness against me, not once since we were just kids. Looking over at her now, I can tell there's more behind why she's here before she voices it.
I'm fine, Dom. This isn't about us,
she assures before biting her lower lip. It's then I notice she's sweating, and it's too early in the day for it. To ease her mind, I grip her shaky hand and see her take her first full breath since she approached me.
What's wrong?
Dom, I hate ass.